Are you ready for the word?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Now, the title of this message is Trust the Process. Trust the Process. Anybody here NBA fans? Amen. I said, trust the process. What does that make you think about? The Philadelphia 76ers. Does that make you think about the Philadelphia 76ers? Trust the process. Amen. They said, trust the process. We're going to tank. We're going to lose. We're going to not try our best so we can get the charity from the draft. Amen. And then we'll end up better in the long run. We're talking today about trusting the process. Now, if you want to trust a NBA process, let's trust the Clippers way, though, where you actually keep trying your best while you try to get better. Amen? Amen. We're not looking for excuses. I'm terrible. Well, here's my excuse. I got to get worse before I can get better. That's not God's way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We want to trust the process. As Christians, our process is to give our best to God, then trust him with the rest. Amen. Trust the process in Christianity is not, I'm going to have an excuse for not doing my best. If we trust God and leave all of the rest to him, that leads to the best outcome. Amen.
Amen.
Our process works as long as we stick with God. Here's how it usually goes. God gives us an assignment or a promise. Has he given you an assignment? Has he given you a promise? The next step is we obey. Is that the easy part or is that the hard part? He gives us a promise or an assignment, and then we have to do what?
Obey.
Obey. And then the hardest part comes. Time passes. He's given you a promise. You've done what he's told you to do, or he's given you an assignment. You are doing what he told you to do, and time continues to march on. And you can't sometimes see your way. Sometimes you get a glimpse of what he's showing you or going to give you, but it seems so far away. It's amazing that time is one of our worst enemies. It's not supposed to be, but it tends to be. So he gives you an assignment or a promise, and we do what? Obey. That's the part you got to remember. If you don't remember anything else today, we need to obey. And then time passes, and then what do? Continue to obey. This is going to be real easy by the time I'm done. You're going to know all the answers. He gives you a promise, or he gives you an assignment, and we do what?
Obey.
And then what happens? Time passes, and then what we do? Continue to obey no matter what. No matter how it feels. No matter how things look. No matter what people say, because time is going to pass. When you're a new Christian, a baby saint, you say, wah, and the milk comes right there. But as you mature in Christ, time is going to pass as he gets you stronger and stronger and builds your faith and your spiritual muscles. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's critical, that obeying part. And you're going to have to continue to obey no matter what it looks like, feels like, no matter what people say, because you could get discouraged. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I want you to notice something in terms of our part in this passion play that we call the process of Christianity. There's only two things that we need to do. What's the first one?
Obey.
Obey. Amen. I told you, by the time we get done, you're going to have this thing down. Obey. And there's only one other thing. Amen. I like that. Don't give up. Obey. And you're going to have to continue because we're maturing Christians. So there's going to be some time that's going to pass. But don't give up. Simple. Obey and don't give up. Can you do those two things? Is it easy to obey? After you've obeyed, is it easy not to give up? And yet those are the only two things you have. Everything else you leave to God. Everything else, God's got it all covered. All we have to do is what? Obey. And don't give up. Amen. Hopefully the more we mature as Christians, the better we'll be at this thing, at both the obeying and the not giving up part. Amen? Amen. Because if you can do that, you will reap the benefits. You will see the fruits. You will taste those wonderful, sweet fruits that God has for us in the end. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to our text. It'll be found in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, one of the minor prophets, as they call them, by volume. He wasn't minor by importance. If you don't know where to find it, it's the second to the last book in the Old Testament, just before Malachi. And as we get to that text, we find the children of Israel about to complete their 70 years of exile in Babylon. And Zechariah and Haggai, main prophets of the time, and the main leader that led the first small contingent from Babylon back to Jerusalem, his name was easy to say, harder to spell, Zerubbabel. Can you say that three times fast? Zerubbabel, he was the leader. Amen? So now Zerubbabel, as the leader, his job was to ensure that was an adequate place to worship their God. Now, his contemporary, who also came back in this small contingent, you will know his name or recognize it, that is Nehemiah. Anybody ever heard of Nehemiah? So Zerubbabel was the leader, the civic leader. He wasn't the priest, but he was a civic leader at the same time that Nehemiah was on the scene, and his job was to make sure that the place of God was rebuilt. Now, Nehemiah's job was to build the wall. Amen? You heard of Nehemiah building the wall? So Nehemiah is building the wall so that they can protect themselves from their enemies, whereas Zerubbabel's job was the most important job, and that is that they'd have a place to worship God. Amen? Amen. So lesson number one, know your assignment. If God told you to build a wall, then you leave that temple alone. If he told you to make sure the temple was built, then you leave that wall alone. Do you know your assignment? Can you obey if you don't know what you're supposed to do? So job one is to have a connection, a relationship with God, and get to know what your assignment is. How about you're on a team and people don't know their assignments? Does that make for a good team? And yet when you have a team, it doesn't even have to be all stars. It doesn't have to be a super team. If everybody knows their assignments and they're on post and on point, what happens? You win a championship, amen? Amen, amen, amen. So we're looking here, we're going to focus mainly, while Nehemiah is on the scene, what we're going to learn today is mostly focused on Zerubbabel and the prophet Zechariah, amen? So Zerubbabel got off to a good start as we get ready to go to our text, and we're going to jump in there in chapter 4, verse 4 of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 4. Now, Zerubbabel has done his job. He has been obedient to God, and he got a great start. And they dug this big ditch, and they poured the foundation, and they had the foundation, and they had a few courses of stone to build the walls of this temple. He did a good job. They got off to an auspicious start. It was exciting. The foundation was built. But then what happened? Time passed, and stuff began to happen. And they had opposition. You ever had opposition in your life? You ever wanted to do something for God and suddenly there was no progress? Well, he had opposition, and that opposition lasted for 17 long years. Now, is 17 years long enough to make you discouraged? We only had 7 years and folks were very discouraged. Amen? So we're talking about 17 years, and he did the right thing and he got off to a good start. But now you can just imagine that he might be discouraged. And so after all this time, after 17 long years, after the first 2 years of progress, so about 20 years have passed, we have Zechariah now finally getting a message from or to Zerubbabel. No matter how long it takes, when you finally hear God's voice, it's a good thing. Amen. And so he sent him a message through visions. And he really didn't understand the visions, but the real point of the visions was this. Number one, don't give up. Number two, trust the process. And if you trust the process, your suddenly will come. Amen? Because that's how God works. It looks like nothing's happening for a really long time, and then suddenly God moves and you see your miracle come to pass. Let's go to verse 4. And we'll read verses 4 and 5. Please read along with me. It reads, "So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these things, my Lord?" Keep reading.
"And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord."
He had shown him a candlestand similar to the one that sits in the temple. And he didn't understand because there were also two olive trees standing next to them, and he didn't understand the symbolism of it. And so 4 and 5 explains that exchange where he's saying, "I don't understand what you're talking about," but verse 6 makes it much, much clearer. Let's read that. "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen. Not by might, not by power, but what? By my what?
Spirit,
saith the Lord. So this is a man that's been waiting. He's tried to do what he was supposed to do, and he's waited 17 long years. And he's trying to figure out, just like we would try to figure out, what's going wrong? What did I do wrong? When is God going to move? Does he still remember me? Am I out of step? And finally, the word of the Lord comes to him, and what does he hear? Guess what? It's not about you. It's not your power. It's not your gifts. It's not your authority. It's not your ability that's going to make the miracle come to pass. We're going to build this temple, but it's not because of your smarts. It won't be because of your abilities. Your abilities matter. Your gifts matter. But that's not what's going to make it come to pass. Your intelligence matters. Your positioning matters. Your influence, even your money matters. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit acting in the realm that you cannot see. This is the thing that we've got to get into our minds. We operate based on what we can see, what we can feel, what we can hear. But while we're living in this realm, what we have to know is just on the other side of a thin tissue paper, there is a world, there is a spiritual world, and you're supposed to be thinking and trying to operate in that realm. But beyond you, there is the Holy Spirit working. While we were at that hotel, sometimes being discouraged, wondering when was God going to move? God was moving all along. When he told us to start looking for something, he knew that we were going to have a whole lot of almosts and could have been and false alarms. He knew that was going to happen all along. He knew when our suddenly would come. All along, he was working in the spiritual realm. You've got to know how to operate in this realm, knowing that the Holy Spirit is working in the other realm. And because if you know that and you trust the process, then you'll act like somebody that believes that God is on your side. Amen?
Amen.
That's how we should look. Amen?
Amen?
And we should never look like what we've been through. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. All we have to do is what? Obey and what? Don't give up. What do you have to do?
Obey
and not give up. And know the time is going to pass. You just have to do what? Continue to obey. Now, somebody here, many of us, we have these great testimonies and folks have gotten all sorts of jobs and all sorts of promotions and raises. But we're not all in the same space. We're not all experiencing the same things at the same time. Somebody is still waiting for their suddenly. Somebody needs to know that they need to obey, and time is going to pass, and that thing that you're looking for can look smaller and smaller and smaller. It can seem more and more and more impossible. You can get more and more and more disappointed and frustrated and discouraged, but you have to continue to obey. And this is why you have to share your testimony, because somebody else hasn't hit that tape yet. Somebody else is exhausted. Somebody else doesn't think they can make it. They need to hear how hard it was for you, because their stuff is still hard. If all they hear is the good stuff, then they think they're doing something wrong, when what they should be doing is continuing to obey. But it's not easy to continue to obey when your deliverance, when your gift, when your outcome seems so far away and you're on such a hard part of the journey. Amen? Amen. So please let folks know how hard it is, or how hard it was, and how far God brought you from. Amen? Amen. So after all of these years, he gets his message and he finally finds out that it's not by his power or abilities. It's not by his ingenuity. It's not based on his authority. It's not based on his strength. But he lets him know, guess what? It will be by my spirit that you will get what I promised. Amen? Amen. So now let's go to verse 7. I love this part. Let's read this together, because now he's just heard finally from the Lord, and the Lord is telling him, he's with bated breath, he's waiting to hear what he has to say, and the first thing he tells him is that, well, guess what, it's not by power. Oh, okay, because I was wishing I had more power. I was wishing I had more might. I was wishing I could have more influence with my enemies around me. I was wishing I had more authority. I was wishing. He says, no, it's not by any of that. It's actually going to be by my spirit. And verse 7 says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before or in front of Zerubbabel, thou shalt what? Become a plain. So you're a big old mountain. He's saying, mountain, you're going to be flattened. That's a beautiful thing. So who are you, this thing that discourages the apple of my eye? Who are you, this thing that disappoints and frustrates those that are called my own? How dare you? Who art thou, O mountain, in front of Zerubbabel, blocking his way? Thou shalt become a plain. What does that remind you of? It reminds me of the confession of faith. I speak directly to every mountain of satanic adversity in my life and command them to go in what? The name of Jesus. This is the Bible saying this. Oh, how dare you stand in the way of the apple of my eye? How dare you stand in the way of the one that I told to do something and he did what I told him to do? Hallelujah. Thou shalt become a plain. So this mountain shall be flattened. You're not going to stand in the way when God is on your side. It will not stand in your way. Let's continue to read. And he shall bring forth the headstone. Well, let's stop right there. I want to make sure we understand what a headstone is. This is not on a grave. And it's not the cornerstone at the beginning of the building. This is the capstone. It is the last stone. So what he's saying here is the mountain of adversities, the mountains that cause disappointment, the mountains that all you can see as time goes by. You can't see the finish line. All you see is the mountain. All you focus on is the mountain. He's saying that that thing is going to be flattened as if it never existed. And he, that is Zerubbabel, shall bring forth the headstone thereof, meaning he's going to see the completion of this temple. You're making him feel like it can never be done. I'm telling you right now, he's going to see it all finished. And he's going to bring forth this headstone thereof with what? Shoutings and crying what? Grace. Grace. So he's going to see the finish line, and he's going to have the headstone or the capstone. And with what? Shoutings and cryings. These are good shouting. This is good crying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, maybe we're not shouting and crying enough in here. Zerubbabel went through 17 years of nothing, 17 years of no progress, 17 years of maybe I'm not doing it right, 17 years of maybe God's forgotten me. Maybe we need 10 more years because then we'd be shouting and crying. Maybe we'd be happy like Pastor Trina. Amen? Hallelujah. There's just a few of us in here, but guess what? There were a few of us before we got here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said that he'll come and he'll put that capstone on with shoutings and crying, grace, grace unto it. Now, here's the thing. If you translate grace, what he was really saying is favor, favor. So what he's saying here is, first of all, mountain, you're going to be flattened. You're not going to stand in the way of my servant when he is obeying me and I have something that he's supposed to do for me. You're not going to stop it. It cannot be stopped. He will see the finish line, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, that is, of the temple that he was supposed to build, crying and shouting, favor, favor. Hallelujah. Can we thank God for his favor? Hallelujah. 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 I know we're far away from each other, but look at somebody and say, favor, favor, favor. Touch that nice cushy seat that you're sitting on and say, favor. Look at the seat next to you that's empty for the moment and say, favor. Look at all that equipment back there that he's working with and say, favor. I can't hear you. Favor. Favor. Look at that piano. Imagine somebody playing and say, favor. Look at that organ. Think about say favor. Look at this beautiful carpet. Favor. Look at this rostrum. Favor. Look at that audio visual. Favor. With crying and shouting. Hallelujah. I'm going to need my voice next week. Don't let me be by myself. Let me hear you say favor. Don't have me waste my voice. Come on now. Favor. That children's room over there. Those bathrooms are beautiful. That amazing vestibule. Hallelujah. Favor. Do I need to break out the baptismal area for you? Favor. Hallelujah. Microphones that we didn't pay for. Speakers, do they sound good? Favor. God has been so good, so faithful. What did we do? Got our assignment, got obeyed, time passed, we continue to obey, and the Spirit took the rest. Hallelujah. 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 I got one more for you. Pastor Trina said it earlier. Within walking distance from the office. I'll give you another shot at it. Within walking distance from the office. Amen. Amen. Doesn't it sound better when we say it together? Amen. 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 Favor. Walking distance. All we have to do is obey and continue to obey. And leave the rest to God. Somebody needs to take a moment and internalize that. What's our job? Obey and don't give up. Obey and don't give up. Obey and don't give up. Somebody needs to know that they need to obey because they haven't stepped out on faith and done what God's asked them to do. But somebody else has rope burns and they're thinking about letting go of the rope. Somebody else can't see the end. Somebody else can't see the finish line. Somebody else can only see the mountain that has to go. It cannot stay. It's got to go in Jesus' name. It will be flattened, but sometimes the mountain seems way bigger than it should. Because we're human. We live in human circumstances. We live in a world even though we're not of the world. Amen? And God knows this. So many false starts, so many almosts. But the Holy Spirit was working in the background all along. None of those other things were meant to be for us because this was meant to be for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to cover just a few more verses because we want to focus on our part. We just talked about God's part. Let's go to verses 8 and 9. And Zechariah is still speaking to Zerubbabel, giving him his answer, letting him know, number one, guess what? These mountains cannot stand. You are going to be victorious. You're going to hit that finish line. You're going to finish that temple, and you're going to be excited, and you're going to know that you've experienced the favor of God. It won't be because of your smarts. It won't be because of your ingenuity. It won't be because of your might, your power. It will be God, and you will know it. Beginning at verse 8, it reads, moreover, meaning there's more. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. We'll stop there for a moment. Now, how does the outcome occur? By what force? By the Holy Spirit. Right? He just said, not by your might, not by your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how you get the outcome. But what does the Bible say about building this temple? It says, the hands of who? Zerubbabel hath laid this foundation. So you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You could be so ethereal in your religiosity that you just think God, that the Spirit is just going to whip up everything all by itself. We think that we cannot try like the 76ers and the draft is going to bail you out. Well, in the NBA, they might work. But in real life, that's not how it works. You have to do your part. So the Bible says the hands of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is a man. He's a human being. Are you a human being? Are we human beings? So the Bible says, this is the prophet speaking, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. And it says, his hands, read it for me. Mm-hmm. Amen. So a man is going to start the job and a man is going to finish the job. But when it's all over, you're going to know that that was so impossible. You're going to know that it was God. You're going to know. So a man doing his part is not taking away the glory of God. God's going to allow you, he's going to ask you, he's going to depend on you to do things, but he's going to get the glory. So you see the duality? There's a part that we play, and there's a part that God plays. If you stop there, it is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, you'll think we have no part to play. God just takes care of everything. But he says, no, he started the process and with his hands, and it's going to end with his hands, which is why he said that he's going to bring the headstone, the capstone, with shoutings and cryings, saying favor and favor, because he is a man and he is going to get the job done. And you're going to know that it was God that actually made it happen, but he uses us. He uses you for something. He needs you for something. He uses Pastor Trina for something. He uses Sister Carrie for something. He uses me for something. But he ultimately gets the glory because in the end, it comes to pass because of the working of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So guess what? If you want things to happen in your life, if you want to see the finish line, if you want to see the finished product, we have to remember we cannot finish something that we never started. How about you have to take a step? If you expect God to do something great in your life, particularly if he promised it to you or if it's an assignment, you got to at least get started. You can't put it off and postpone it forever. You need to at least get started. Pastor Trina got started and just said yes, and what happened? He opened up a window and started pouring out blessings. He still don't have room enough to receive. Today, we're still wallowing around trying to figure out how to receive this thing. And all she did was say yes. She just started preaching. You can't finish anything. You don't at least start. Let's go to verse 10. And this will be our last verse. Let's read it together. For who hath despised the day of small things? Have any of us despised the day of small things? It's easy to get a little frustrated and despise days of small things. Here he had built this foundation and he got about three or four courses of stone. That was a small thing. You couldn't see the walls. You didn't see all the gold and all the ornamentation. You didn't see the veil. You didn't have the holiest of holies. You didn't have any of that stuff. All he had was a basic beginning. And that basic beginning, even though he was giving his best, even though he was giving his all, he looked at the outcome and the fact that it lay desolate for so long, and he judged what he saw. For who hath despised the day of small things? This is the verse that that person years ago I told you came to me and prophesied. They used the version of the translation, small beginnings. Pastor, I can tell that you're a pastor, they said, and I want you, God told me to come to you and say, don't despise small beginnings. Better is coming. Hang on in there. Continue to obey, basically, and don't give up. So Pastor Trina said, well, if that pastor had come along sooner, things might have been different. Well, here's one way it would absolutely been different if we had given up. If we had given up beforehand, this wouldn't be. Today wouldn't be. And little would we know, we would have given up in frustration. Little would we know, this was sitting right here. All along with a date that it was that we were going to get that phone call. What if we had given up the week before? Amen. Your suddenly is out there. You just have to obey, continue to obey, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it seems like, no matter what people are saying. And here's the thing, these small beginnings, these small things also open you up to ridicule. When you are being faithful and being diligent and being obedient while you've got a small thing, while you just started something and it doesn't seem to be bearing fruit, it seems to be laying waste and desolate, people will mock you. People will say, oh, you ain't going nowhere. Oh, people will say, oh, you're not really anointed. Oh, people will say, oh, you weren't really called for that. Or people will say, you're not right at the right job. People will say, you're not doing the right thing. You're going to have to hang on in there through all of that. All of that. And what do you need to do? Continue to obey. Continue to obey. Because it's going to look like that. And some folks are going to look at you. Your supporters will start to lose faith. And your detractors will get excited and say, see, I knew you wasn't anything. I knew you weren't legitimate. I knew God wasn't really calling you to do that. I knew that you shouldn't have started that thing. I knew. Amen? So it's important that we not despise small beginnings, even today. I know we're missing two of our people that were supposed to be here, but you could look at the small number of people in this big old space and you could start thinking certain thoughts. What are we supposed to do? Continue to obey. Know that the Spirit is working even now. There are people and ministries you just can't see today. But if you give up, if we give up today, we won't get a chance to see the fruit that we're supposed to see in the future. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So who hath despised the day of small things? Let's read some more together. For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Keep reading. Amen, amen, amen. Now, what is he saying here? those seven. He's talking about the branches on that candlestick in the image that he showed him, in the vision that he gave him. Now, when we look at the book of Revelation in front of the Lord, there are how many flames of fire? Seven. And what do those flames of fire represent? The Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, what came down? In what form? That's right. Like a fire. So what does God choose to use in terms of imagery when he wants to talk about his Holy Spirit? Amen. Now, he describes them here as, of course, he's described them before in the candle, which, of course, is a fire that burns using oil, olive oil, which is why the two olive trees, it all starts to make sense. But he says they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. He's trying to tell Zerubbabel that it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how far it seems that your solution is. God's eyes have never gone off of you. It doesn't matter where you are. You can't go so far that God cannot see you or find you. It doesn't matter how long it takes, how much time goes by. God does not see your small beginnings. God does not see your small things the way you see them. All along, God saw the small thing as a big thing. All along, we're in the hotel, God was seeing the small thing as a big thing. All along, even when we got discouraged, God was not looking at it the way we were looking at it. This is what he's trying to say. The Holy Spirit never takes his eyes off of you, and the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to do the job, but you've got to do your part. That's what he's trying to say. God doesn't see our small things and our small and humble beginnings the way that we see them, because he sees the building finish. We're focused on the lack of progress. But we all know that he comes what? Suddenly. Suddenly. And the longer that time goes on, the smaller your small beginnings look. But the smaller they look, the bigger the bang when your suddenly comes. Amen? Amen, amen. We just have to make sure we don't give up before our suddenly comes. And if you look at this building, I think we can say that we have favor. I think we can say our suddenly has now come. And now this is the beginning of more due diligence, more obedience. And I can shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.